It's the Nerdcast, episode 114, and it's post-Oscars, post-Project Cosplay, post-Sanity.
It wasn't any better the second time.
This is Austin St. John, Jason, the original Red Ranger, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
In case anybody's wondering,
it sounded better, but it's still not a good intro.
So in case you're wondering, Tyler's making reference to the fact that we've already failed at this once, but this one, it is hopefully really episode 114. And as you can tell, Adam, Aaron, Tyler, myself, Iggy are all here for an episode that really is coming post our first ever Project Cosplay. And I'm super excited to talk about it because we already have Project Cosplay 2017 in the works because year one was extremely successful. Three of us, Tyler was there too. We can talk to it. And then, of course, the Oscars happened just this past weekend.
Did you forget that I was just at your house the other day?
No, I did not.
He forgot.
There's a lot going on, Tyler. He
held you in his arms.
No, all night. But anyways, it is post-Oscars also, there was an issue regarding the acting categories being very white. And, the Oscars didn't stray from addressing that at all, so we'll definitely talk on that as well. But happy whatever day this is, everybody. I don't even know when and where and what's going on anymore.
Happy Super Tuesday.
Super Friday when this airs.
Yeah, but it's Super Tuesday right now. It's not a secret, Iggy. Like I realize you get upset with the time thing, but
Tyler, we've gone over this.
It's not like every show on TV is aired ahead of time, or recorded ahead of time.
I don't think any shows on TV are aired ahead of time.
Both of you. You know what I meant.
Shut your butt. But before we started recording, it's equally exciting. Tyler brought up that the fourth most popular folk band from New Zealand is returning to North America to tour and will be going to many Project Nerd destinations, including Denver and Kansas City.
Yay. So,
Fly to the Conchords back on the road this summer. Everybody's pretty happy for that here.
Especially me. Can we?
Tickets will be going on sale if we're going to pretend like today is Friday. Tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Well, for those that are listening to us, we don't want to say, hey, you're listening to this. Tickets go on sale 4 days from now. No, they go on sale tomorrow Saturday.
Tickets go on sale on March 5th, 2016.
Yeah, that works just as well. Can we talk about the fact that I think from now on, we should start taking attendance. Like, instead of announcing, we should just say, like, hey, attendance.
Jermaine.
Iggy, present.
Britt. Jermaine.
Adam, present. Aaron, present.
All right. Good talk. So Aaron is excited for Flight of the Conchords. They will be at Red Rocks in Colorado. And then where'd you say in Kansas City, Tyler?
Starlight Theater.
So... A number of that is a large slate of dates there actually that they announced. So pretty exciting. Supposedly not a lot of new materials because there was also the rumors a little over a year ago that they would possibly be making their way back to HBO. That floundered. Maybe now we'll get that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean they've definitely said in the announcement that there will be new material on the tour. So
I don't even care. If I hear them play,
if they just play Business Time 10 times in a row, you're fine with it.
I like the hip hop.
That would work.
Is it because his rhymes are bottomless?
Or is it that perchance?
Or is it because that there's no? Or is it because there's no party like his Nana's Tea Party?
The puns. Oh man, oh they're so good. They're so good.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Aaron's pretty excited for that. And if you are a fan of Flight of the Conchords, you can go to their website and check out all those tour dates. I think the majority of us will be doing our best to go and see them for sure. But let's talk about the big topic at hand, the Oscars. Best Picture winner was pretty much handed, and we talked about it a number of times. Iñárritu, we thought he was going to get director and Best Picture 2 years in a row. And The Revenant kind of got stopped by the one movie that when you look at the list, the one movie that you're not surprised a Spotlight, because it also takes on a very big social topic there.
Honestly, not even just the social topic, but the more I thought about it over the last couple weeks, I think that was easily my favorite movie of the year. Like, it was really good.
So I haven't seen it.
But best movie I saw this last year. And I saw The Revenant.
So I saw The Revenant, and I don't know if I would have said Best Picture, but I didn't see Spotlight, so I can't really compare those two fairly.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about The Revenant not winning is it's one of those things, and I read this a couple different places saying that as good as The Revenant was, it wasn't good enough to make Iñárritu the first director ever to go back-to-back Best Director, Best Picture, which I would agree with. I don't know if that's a good reason to not vote for it, but that definitely makes sense to me.
Right, yeah. If you do that, you're giving it a lot of historical significance. Like
for a good but not necessarily great movie.
Right, yeah, exactly. And that's, I think that's the problem, is that Birdman and Iñárritu's success last year meant that to win again, it was going to have to be hands down the best picture, not even close. And I don't think that was it, because like Tyler said, Spotlight and Iggy also, when you look at it, that was the one that was going to kind of, if there was any kind of question, I feel like the one that there was a question about was going to win anyway.
Yeah. So Oppenheimer and Drafted House Film shut out of Best Documentary again. They had a second nominee here. Not as The Act of Killing, of course, was a huge, like, this is going to win. It's winning everything, everywhere. And then they lost Documentary. However, this time around, it wasn't, the Look of Silence wasn't necessarily expected to win. Amy was definitely expected to win Best Documentary. It did. But just pointing out, Draft House did get another shot at it there. So Draft House Films, Tim Leake working on their way up. Screenplays, Spotlight and The Big Short. And, you know, of course, Spotlight winning Best Picture, so not a big surprise there. But as we pointed out, you know, Iñárritu winning director again, back-to-back years. He topped on a little bit in regards to the race thing as well, which I'm sure we'll touch on here. And then, of course, Brie Larson getting Best Actress. And internet memes be damned, Leonardo DiCaprio is an Academy Award-winning actor.
Our long national nightmare is finally over.
So, at the end of the day, I think the most of us have seen Revenant. Is this the role he should have won for?
No. But I think it was finally time for him to win. I don't mind that he won for this movie, but if you're going to go back for all the things he's done, I think it was a tough, tough year, but I still think it was The Departed.
What about when he did that really, really, really good role in Django Unchained?
That was the best supporting actor role anyways.
Even so.
I think you could, if you look at some of those roles, any acting, so if you want to include Best Supporting, I'm not going to give Django Unchained the top. Departed, it definitely is one. Departed felt like it was that moment where you went from, this is little Leo DiCaprio, to becoming like a man.
The moment he changed goes back even further. It goes back to
Titanic.
it goes back to that movie, Catch Me If You Can. I'm sorry, but that's the moment.
He played a boy in that movie too.
He played a boy who was playing a man in several different ways.
I am a boy playing a man who is acting as another man.
He was amazing.
Wouldn't it be the other dude?
He's just amazing. Like, I used to hate Leonardo DiCaprio, but he showed he has range in so many different ways. And
he has.
I mean, he's been nominated for the Oscar as an actor 5 times. And of the five that he was nominated for?
Well, what five nominees? No, he didn't get nominated for Titanic. Yeah.
Gilbert Grape.
No. Titanic would have been the worst one he was nominated for.
But Gilbert Grape, was that a supporting actor?
That was definitely supporting.
Okay.
He was really good.
Aaron, let him list.
You know what? Tell us, Aaron, which ones was he nominated for?
I don't know.
Okay, so Gilbert Grape, best supporting actor.
Gilbert Grape, The Aviator. Blood Diamond, Wolf of Wall Street, and The Revenant. Of those five,
I would Wolf of Wall Street or say
Blood Diamond
is probably the best one he did.
What?
His performance.
He's phenomenal in that movie. You guys, whether you like it or not, he does an amazing job.
Very good in that movie as Howard Hughes.
I don't think I paid attention because it was a crappy movie.
Have you seen The Aviator?
I don't, maybe not.
Okay.
Your faces, you look like dogs, you know, when they're like, huh?
First of all, I know Aaron's seen Aviator.
Yeah.
Second of all, I wish I had control over the mute buttons. Third of all, Wolf of Wall Street or What's Eating Gilbert Grape are clearly of those five.
Way better.
I'm not saying that The Wolf of Wall Street wasn't amazing. I don't know if that performance is Oscar worthy.
That was, I don't know. Like, to me, that was Oscar worthy.
I would agree, but I don't think it was a better, I think it's a better movie than The Aviator, but I don't necessarily think it was a better performance by Leo.
Also, in 2014, there was no way he was beating any of the other four nominees. Because the year that he was nominated for Wolf of Wall Street is Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, Bruce Dern for Nebraska, Christian Bale for American Hustle, and your boy, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, the only one I give him over is American Hustle there. Other than that, you're exactly right. That's a tough list. That year, though, I mean, when you list the titles of those movies, it's not just the acting categories. That list of movies is fantastic. But I agree, the one he was left out of that he wasn't even nominated for was Departed. And it's hard because...
Well, the problem is another he was nominated one. That. He would have... I think he could have won for Departed, but he got nominated the year he was in Departed for Blood Diamond. I think this one ended up killing
him. I don't... And nothing... Blood Diamond's a fine movie. It's not great, in my opinion. But of all the performances we're talking about, that's not his best, not even close.
And that's very good.
Nomination. I don't know.
What about the best Gatsby ever?
Stop talking.
Don't start the Gatsby. That's back when Nerdcast used to be season format.
I am the biggest.
I would not be true to myself if I didn't say the truth. It's just the truth.
I am the biggest Baz Luhrmann supporter in the house, and I'm not going to go to bat for that Great Gatsby, I'm sorry, nor his performance in it.
It's good. It's good. Aaron is onto something there in terms of his performance, not necessarily being the best, and attacking another actor that the three of us really, and by three of us, I mean that the rest of America really enjoys.
I don't know what
he was good in it. He was good in it. So anyways, Leonardo DiCaprio wins. The big topic at hand, though, that even outshined that was the matter of the race issue. So it was Chris Rock hosted. They went all out to make sure that there was representation of many races and genders. Kohl's sponsored the entire thing, and the only Kohl's commercial that featured a white person in it was a white man married to a black woman at the very end. All the other ones were minority commercials, which is it's great. At the same time, mixing it all together, it felt like, were they trying to overcorrect? Did it come off that way to anybody, or?
They needed to overcorrect. Like, they needed to take it to a point that made everyone watching it uncomfortable, I feel like.
But okay, but is overcorrecting, would it have been correct to have nominated people like Idris Elba? Michael B. Jordan, these nominees, the director for Creed, or just make a big deal out of what they've messed up
on? No. Like, there's, I mean, you can't go back and re-vote. Like, that would, in a perfect world, they wouldn't need to do this. But at the same time, like, I think Chris Rock and the producers took the right tack. Like, hammer it away until you feel uncomfortable. Because it's one of those things where
because everybody's voting next year is like,
I think there's probably a huge swath of that audience of that academy. It's like, I'm not racist. But if he keeps hammering it and it makes you uncomfortable, I think that uncovers that maybe there's a little latent racism there that you're not willing to acknowledge. I think that they had to atone and they had to take it to
the, I don't think, I get what you're saying. I don't think if you were uncomfortable about it, makes you necessarily racist or have something there. I think it in a way could have taken away from that year's award show. You make a good point. You can't go back and correct who was nominated. And it's hard because I was talking about it. I had family in town this weekend. And so we were talking about it. And I said, you know, why was this year more noticeable than the year before? And there was some attention brought up the year before, the Oscars to white. And, but again, this year, 2015, we saw so many movies and the types of movies that the Academy typically loves that were black performances, directing and acting and everything that were just completely omitted. So it was very in our face from the get-go. My only fear is that they're going is in terms of them overcorrecting it is that they're going to like overdo it next year.
That's fine. I'm not going to get upset if they overcorrect one out of 88 of these things because they done fucked up. I'll eat one for the team on that one. I think they need to.
Well, I think, I mean, Chris Rock kind of touched on it at the beginning. The issue is not so much even about, you know, people not being nominated. Like, okay, that happens. There are only going to be five nominees, and it's entirely possible that of those five nominees, they all happen to be white for an acting category. Like, that's a reasonable thing. I think it comes down to opportunity, and that's really the issue that I see, is that there are a lot of things like The Martian that came out this year, and I've read the book, and there's, you know, very little talk, actually no talk that I remember of them describing a character in terms of their race. So that cast could have been cast, or that movie could have been cast with anybody from any race in those positions.
There's one character, I would say.
I mean, just the name, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you've got...
And he talks about being a Hindu.
Yeah, right. So there are a couple, but I mean, that's your religion, not so much your race or ethnicity. It gives you an idea of, you know, 90% of India's, you know, of the darker color, I guess I would say. I don't know if that's even right, but in the end, anybody could have been cast in basically any of those roles, and they weren't. And so I think it does come down to opportunity, and I think people needed to see that, needed to hear that. I'm with Tyler that I'm okay with it being maybe a little heavy-handed if that gets things moving in the right direction.
And I don't think it's just a matter of, and you brought it up there, and like it's been brought up a lot in a lot of movies, especially movies that have characters who, you know, especially if they come from a source material where they were ethnic, you know, they've always, the accusations of whitewashing films, whether it's something like Avatar The Last Airbender or Pan this year was a big one that got accused of it. It's not just Caucasians and African-Americans. It's all ethnicities that aren't white, you know, Asians and stuff like that. And it comes up, I think, every year that, I mean, we've got a movie called, what's the one that's just god-awful right now?
Gods of Egypt.
Yeah, the two main characters are two of the whitest guys you could probably find. I don't know. I think that it's okay to come down a little on the uncomfortable heavy hand side if that's what's necessary to try and wake some people up to it.
Good and good points. I just hope that the Academy handles it right, because at the end of the day, no matter what race, gender, whatever, you want to see the best person win at the end, you know. So,
well, if there's one group that's known for handling things the right way, it's the Academy of Motion.
No. Tyler, you win the conversation with a valuable point there at the end. So, sarcasm and all. But anyways,
if you want to get mad at them for something, how about getting mad at them for leaving out our good friend, Mr. Abe Vigoda of the In Memoriam?
Yeah, they dropped a couple names on there, and they saw a couple people go straight to Facebook afterwards to complain about it. And it was a tough year again, seeing Christopher Lee, Alan Rickman, and David Bowie. I mean, amongst others, fantastic ones. But I was actually shocked that, you know, of all the people, I'm like, why didn't you close with Sir Christopher Lee? Like, of all the people, I don't know. But they spread it out, and Dave Grohl did a fantastic job singing.
I don't know any other outside of the presentation, except for the Louis C.K. bit about the short form documentary, which I thought was fantastic. Any other big surprises, I guess?
Surprise for me, somebody who is probably Kevin Hart's least supporting fan, like I'm not a fan of him at all, is his speech when it came to the race thing, I thought was the best. It was professional. It was grounded. It was really strong. And I thought he had a good word to say regarding the whole thing. The surprise, but kind of an annoying surprise, was I felt like Chris Rock with the Girl Scout cookies thing tried to pull an Ellen DeGeneres with the pizza type thing. It felt like it was almost like, oh, that skit that Ellen did with the pizza a couple years ago was really funny, so let's do that now with Girl Scout cookies, which was successful in terms of money raise. But overall, a pretty level, not very surprising. It kind of is what it was, you know, type night at the Oscars.
I think I was, I'm not super surprised. I was a little surprised at the run that Mad Max went on, like just one after the other, and then ended up the one that they didn't win was, I think, the one everyone expected them win, which is Best Achievement in Visual Effects, which went to the very small, low-budget Ex Machina, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming.
No, and that, you know what? I'm happy with that getting a win, so I'm happy that Ex Machina has an Academy Award now. And Mad Max getting six was fantastic. What would have blown minds everywhere would have just seen, you know, George Miller win director or Mad Max even sneak up and win Best Picture. I don't know if the internet would have survived, and it would have been amazing. But we knew that that movie, we knew it was going to see a lot of praise in those technical awards. We knew it didn't have a chance in any of those big categories. So it's really cool to say six-time Academy Award winning Mad Max Fury Road. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think impressive and well-deserved. And I really, really like it. Maybe a lot of people didn't see Ex Machina, but I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that movie. And I thought the visual effects with the androids and the machine characters were really, really, really good.
And hey, Tyler,
throughout the whole movie, too.
Did you also enjoy that movie thoroughly?
I'm sorry, which movie?
Ex Machina.
I did.
And Mad Max, both.
Both of them.
The answer should have been yes either way, Tyler.
Let's stick with Ex Machina, because I just wanted to point out that all of us loved that movie.
Okay.
Pretty
Aaron, well, Aaron well, is well. In agreement with the other three of us, is what she's trying to say.
I would say I think the coolest win of the night, though, was definitely Morricone for his score for Hateful Eight. Considering he won an honorary Academy Award 9 years ago, and then finally, after being nominated, what is it, like six times over the last 50 years, finally won an actual Academy Award for one of his scores.
And that was a surprise win, too, because he was up against some usual winners there. And the way Hateful Eight got its nominations, I was really thinking, like, the Academy's honeymoon with Tarantino seemed a little bit over, especially because is this like the first Tarantino movie where his editor didn't get nominated for editing? Like, she always gets nominated.
Yeah, it's possible.
And not this one. But anyways, that was a good win. There was some good quality wins in there, you know, and then like I said, no surprises. The one thing I wanted to point out was not even the win, because everybody knew Inside Out was going to get Best Animated Feature. But I want to point out that the slate of nominees for animated films was not your typical big studio, you know, 30 sequel over, kids went to see it and made $900 billion type movie. They were the beautifully animated, lower budget, some foreign, you know, those types of movies. So do yourself a favor and get out there and try to see as many of those as possible, because I promise you, deep down, I haven't seen them all. I can't speak to it, but most of them are probably better than Inside Out.
Do your research, though, before you – and figure out what you're getting into before you go see Anna Mona Lisa. Just heads up. That's a Charlie Kaufman film, so yeah. I need you to make sure that you realize that that's not your quote-unquote animated film before you go and rent that one.
Don't take the kids. Hey, kids, you guys watch this. We're gonna go pay attention to something else.
Right, that's almost as bad as taking them to see Deadpool. Right, that's not what you want to do.
But like, I think of some of the puppet scenes you saw in Team America World Police and do like the slightly weirder, maybe more tasteful version of it. Like, that's what you're getting yourself into. Just be prepared for that. I'm trying to explain to you that there's puppet sex in it as well.
Yes, that's okay. Thank you. Were you going to put it out there?
Thank you, Tyler.
awkward silence there for a bit. Anyway, so Academy Awards, definitely feel free, as always, give us your feedback on who won, who you thought should win, and even who you thought should have been nominated. We should have a cool article up in the next week or two where we're going to predict who's going to be the next Oscar host, much like I predicted who won the Oscars. And I did good in some categories, but Revenant there at the end not winning definitely threw me off. So another big thing we want to talk about, of course, is our first ever event that we hosted is in the books, very successful, Project Cosplay. As many of you know, we attend conventions all across the country. Majority of listeners come from our Project North Tour, but this was the first year where we hosted an all cosplay event, and we're excited to bring something new to the Denver area, and it was really successful. Aaron's tapping. So is she ready to say something about it?
Nope.
Okay.
I just was accidentally clicking and...
So anyways, Project Cosplay, 140 people showed up. Tyler, Aaron, myself were all there. The photos coming out of it. We only got like 15% of the content at this point, and they're just mind-blowing, some of the photos.
I can't even begin to express how mind-blowing they are as well. I'm going to agree with you. Like, here's Aaron also agreeing with someone on the Nerdcast. But seriously, like, it's so different than any other regular convention that Project Nerd puts content out, because usually they put out, we put out pictures and, you know, there's like con background and they're great photos, or they're just single, you know, pictures of an amazing costume. But this is like themed and there's like photoshopped backgrounds and the photographers just went wild. And there's like group shots that are amazing that you couldn't put together at a convention. These are things that you would put together like once every, you know, in a blue moon with like a group of friends because they decide to get together for a shoot. And this was like a whole event focused on that. It's, if you love cosplay, this is, I'm flabbergasted.
Well, it is the, we talk about at these events that the big groups get together and you see these shoots of like the best example, or we see some great groups come out of Denver. And they're standing in front of the Denver Comic-Con banner on a stage, like for all 10 photos that people get of them, or in a hallway with tons of people walking around. And here we were able to just get, you know, Gotham villains together playing poker, Star Wars characters actually battling with lightsabers on stage, anime characters doing a pool party. It was amazing. And we had some people show up and do 12 costumes over the course of one weekend. That's just insane. So a lot happened, and the best part about it was is all the photographers had a great time and are eager for another event. And more importantly, the feedback from the cosplayers involved was so positive. I couldn't believe that. I mean, almost 40% of the people that attended and participated as cosplayers filled out the feedback form, and almost all of them had amazing things to say, gave us some great suggestions for year two, which we're starting to roll out already and we'll have on the site very soon. And very, very few negative feedbacks, and some of the ones that weren't fantastic, a lot of constructive ways for us to even make it better for year two, which we've already booked for February 3rd through 5th, 2017, over at the Embassy Suites, Denver Stapleton. Pretty excited for that, because that event space is off to the side. It's on its own. We got access to an indoor pool again. We got an executive suite to set up the poker table, do hotel room shoots. We're going to add extra stages. We're going to have a vendor room. We're doing so much more, and we've already been putting together the details for another Iron Cosplay Challenge and Saturday Night Bash. So pretty excited. I'm getting laughed at.
No, the best part about this, your whole explanation of that, like the next year's event sounds even better, which is absolutely fantastic, is Aaron literally cannot keep the smile off her face as he's listing all these things off. Like, she just can't do it. She keeps trying to do it and then she can't do it. And it's pretty awesome. So Aaron is thoroughly enthused, I will say.
Being that she's one of in the target demographic, I guess that's a good sign.
I'm enthused, that's for sure. But also, I was taking screenshots and you guys didn't know it. So.
I know. I knew she was up to something else. She was definitely not paying attention at all.
I was totally paying attention.
If Aaron is grinning at something we're saying, she's not. While even if she seems to be grinning, Aaron doesn't pay enough attention to what's going on to have been totally that excited about it.
First of all, you know I was listening because I can't help but I'm freaking excited. I'm terribly excited. I can't wait.
So Tyler, what
there's
did you?
There's going to be food as well.
I don't. Anyways, we got Aaron's opinions on it. But Tyler, what did you think about Project Cosplay?
Like, shut up, Aaron.
It was fun. I had a really good time. I saw some really awesome cosplay. Some of the shoots were really the Gotham villains poker shoot, I think, was probably one of the better ones. The Star Wars room shoots were really good. There was some really good Star Wars cosplay. Although I think Matt won the day with that one. So.
Which one?
Matt, the radar tech.
Oh, Matt, yeah. what's her name, Pixie Goddess showed up. And it's great because you have this like pyramid of characters set up with lightsabers, serious looks, and then over on the very end is Matt, the radar technician, with the thumbs up. It was fantastic.
What other costumes? A lot of things you don't normally see.
League of Legends one with the nine tails, that character?
That was really good.
There was
a bunch of characters, one of the days from Rooster Teeth's TV show or animated series, Ruby. There was a Ruby, there was a Weiss. There was a couple different characters from Ruby, which was really cool. I'm trying to think what else I saw that was super cool. It was a good time. And the venue was really exciting. I mean, the venue worked really well. Everyone was super enthused. We had a ton of awesome help. Friends of ours from is all over the place, from Omaha and Chicago, and we had a good time.
It was a blast, and I can't wait for year two. Saturday Night Bash is coming together. Some definite items there. So I think our biggest feedback was what to do in between these shoots or even the scheduling conflicts of some things. So we've definitely got both of those things already figured out for year two. And if those were our biggest problems, that means a lot of great things.
I'm super pumped about year two, nothing scheduled in the AM. I'm on board with that.
Yes. Shoots don't start till afternoon because we quickly learn costumers do not show up to shoots before noon.
Yeah. No, I could have told you guys that just from our regular conventions. Like, you're like, oh, we get there first thing in the morning. All right, let's get all the awesome cosplay. And it's like 12:30 or 1 o'clock. It starts rolling in. You're like, oh, okay.
How about the opportunity to go to a convention and walk more than 3 or 4 feet at a time without being stopped?
By cell phone pick. Like, I'm not being stopped every 30 seconds. Or I'm not sitting over here talking to a friend and people just taking awkward pictures of me without even asking my permission. Exactly.
That was actually still happening, let's be honest.
No, not quite. But it was great to see because it was, you know, as we joked about it, the morning started good with some good panels and everything like that, people showing up to those. But it was about that 1 o'clock on Saturday where you looked across the atrium and you just saw a room full of people in costume just hanging out, cameras, like rows of cameras set up, like with photographers, and people getting giddy about the photos on both sides of the camera. So it was a really good experience. We can't wait for year two. We expect to see huge results. People are pouring into the public Facebook group, which if you just type in Project Cosplay, you can find both the fan page and the public Facebook group. And of course, project-cosplay.com, just like Project Nerd, throw that hyphen in between the two words and you're good to go. All right, so I'm moving on from Project Cosplay. I was going to let somebody else bring up something now.
In 2 weeks, we're going to be in the beautiful city of Chicago for another show.
I'm so excited. is this the part where we talk about like the food, like tacos?
That's all we ever talk about when we talk about pizza and
Italian steak sandwiches. And
is there a part where we
steak sandwiches? We're just going to eat the pizza and the tacos and the shakes, and we're going to call it good.
Is there a part where we don't talk about food? And why not the steak sandwiches? I'm confused.
I've never had those before at the Chicago, and I'm not interested. I just want tacos and pizza.
Okay, well, we're going to have Rico Benet's steak sandwiches.
Yeah.
You can sit out on the curb for all we care.
I'll just eat their ice cream, yo.
It's frozen custard, first of all.
Rico Benet's.
Oh, nice.
Adam's got his pass.
We did all get our press passes.
Tyler, did you grab your badge from? I don't remember. But yeah, I gave it to you.
It's in my back.
Put it in your comic book. I got mine too.
The next leg of, sorry, not the Pro Nerd Tour, the Project Nerd 2016 tour starts in 2 weeks. Why did we abandon Pro Nerd? Just because it was hard to say really fast, Pro Nerd Tour?
No, it becomes a mess with everything because then everything is Pro Nerd. Hey, there's this website these guys run called Pro Nerd and all this stuff. So no, just Project Nerd Tour 2016.
Pronid.
Right. Project Cosplay in the books, and C2E2, our first convention to travel to, is just around the corner. And we'll be reunited and it'll feel so
It's gonna feel so good. Wait, can we put Tyler in his own hotel room? That'll make it feel even better. Because then there will be sleep.
That makes it sound like you don't love him.
I love him dearly.
We're just going to get earplugs from the front desk and take lots of Benadryl.
Ear headphones and in the ear headphones. I'm going to wear both of them while I sleep, I think.
I feel like there is a subject that merits bringing up just because it's about one of our favorite people of the last year or two, Mr. Zack Snyder.
Oh, no. Well, I know when Tyler says favorite people, I'm like, okay, where's this going?
Mr. Zack Snyder. I'm not going to bring up Batman v Superman. Although, did anyone else see the sketch they did on Jimmy Kimmel Live about Jimmy Kimmel's deleted scene from the movie?
No, I saw people sharing it, but I hadn't actually watched it.
Everyone needs to watch it because it's brilliant. Because he got Cavill to do it and Ben Affleck, and they definitely like recreate the scene, and everyone's in it. Jesse Eisenberg shows up with, not including a couple other cameos that are pretty fantastic. But this week there is a profile interview, like a wide ranging interview profile of Snyder in Bloomberg Business, and they're interviewing about various things. And then there's a mention in the article about there's a print of Emmanuel Lutz's Washington Crosses the Delaware painting, the one where he's standing in the front of the boat and it's going forward. And there's a quote in the thing talking about how he'd like to make a movie about George Washington. And I quote, "We were talking about it. The first thing we asked was, well, how are we going to make it look? I pointed at this painting. It looks like 300. It's not that hard." So hopefully at some point in the future, we will.
That's Zack Snyder.
A Revolutionary War film starring George Washington in the style of 300.
This isn't Britain. I don't know. What's gonna say there. Kick him off. Wow.
I'm just excited to see a shirtless King George III. And then
it's painful to even think about it.
Minutemen, just it's going to be fantastic.
Actually, that'll probably be incredibly entertaining.
The sad thing is, like, the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, okay, I'd probably go fucking watch that.
All right, I'm on board with this, right, yeah.
So the reason I was laughing so hard, though, about the Washington crossing the Delaware is, did you watch that Comedy Central video I shared with you guys of the comedian actors
doing the
porn stars lines?
Yeah.
I watched it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Adam, did you watch it?
Yes, I did watch it.
Yeah, it was
not at work though.
The Washington crossing Delaware part.
They were actually doing the sex.
That's what pornography is, Aaron. Very good.
Real pornography. I was scandalized.
Well,
don't you host a podcast about sex?
That's true. I almost backed off and was like, all right, I won't share any videos like that with Aaron anymore. But then, Tyler, you make a very valuable point.
I was hoping especially, nobody
haven't you done entire podcasts about pornography?
Yeah.
Like, especially because the one that just aired today, I was on. And Aaron let me be on a podcast. No, I was not pornography.
But
it was about Catwoman. And then also something that I would like to talk about here as well was the February edition of Harley Quinn, which was a fairly significant change.
But let's not talk about that yet. Let's talk about that porn that you sent us. So
what was it porn? It was.
No, it was porn. And what really upset me is that
it aired on Comedy
the
Central.
The woman in it was really, really hot. And the dude was like kind of hot in like a boy next doorway. And it made me uncomfortable that they were being funny and also sexy. So
I feel like Washington crossing the Delaware.
So what you're saying is it's time to pivot modern sex in a new direction, and it's now modern pornography. Reviewing and watching various porn videos. Because I think you could find a good listener base for that.
Do you think so? Do you want to be my partner for it?
No.
Okay, fine.
I don't think anyone should watch that much pornography.
Too busy. Too busy.
I'm also going to pass.
You don't want to tune in and turn the porn on at the same exact time?
Okay, there will be no watching of the pornography together. Now,
you just get a little weird.
Made it weird.
She just made it weird, Tyler.
Watch it and then come back and talk about it later.
No, you made it sound like we were syncing up the videos.
Okay.
All right, so anyways, moving on purposely and quickly, the Harley Quinn in February, she, well, point blank beat the shit out of the Joker and kind of moved on. And as much as Harley Quinn trying to free herself from the Joker has been a thing of the past over the years, this was definitely very different. There was definitely a different approach this time around. And the new series for Harley Quinn has been getting a lot of praise over the years. The creative team is very highly regarded. Of course, we do know Chad Harden, who's part of the art team on that. But basically, Harley Quinn broke into Arkham to free her new boyfriend, who was conveniently located right next to the Joker. He was definitely trying to manipulate him and then manipulate her. And so she decided to let him out of his cell, or more specifically, just unlock the cell and go in there. And she then got into a physical bash with him, ended up winning in the end, but more importantly was the thing she said along the way. And it was a very liberating moment for Harley Quinn. And it was a very important thing because Harley Quinn is now becoming, she's so popular. She is extremely popular. And in some regards, specifically in this creative team's version of her, she's becoming her own character as opposed to just the Joker's something, you know, a female character that was just made for the Joker. And I think this was very liberating because in so many ways, you really look at their relationship, it's not pretty. It's not good. And there's a lot of women that deal with relationships that are like that. And to see her break free and stand as her own could be very liberating for a lot of women. But it also can be, at a more shallow regard, it can also be very cool for this character and now what we can see Harley Quinn be developed as, because she's not just, like I said, that Joker's extra. She's becoming her own.
No, that's a good thing. I haven't read the new series at all. And so that's really interesting to see that they are going to take this somewhere new. Because I was wondering how long that series could run with the idea that she is, in the end, just someone who's completely obsessed with the Joker. And so I think you needed it in terms of character development, in terms of length and breadth of the story that you can tell. You open in a lot of doors with that kind of a decision. So I'm interested to see where they go, and I may have to actually start reading that one.
And this is a character, like I said, the popularity of her has grown. Straight from introduction, you know, in the 90s, they introduced in the cartoon, people fell in love with that character immediately. But now as we're seeing villains become more, you know, deeper and have backstories and be more complex and be driven by things that aren't just them being evil, just them hating Superman because they made him bald, or he made them bald. You know, we're seeing real reasons for these characters to be driven. And it also plays into the Joker story. It was great. The article I read on it was talking about, it was something, you know, it's like she has the exact same realization here that Batman had in The Killing Joke. It's the Joker does whatever he can do to you, whether in a relationship like he is with Harley or a relationship like he is with Batman, he does whatever he can do to bring you down to his level, to break you down and turn you into a person you don't want to be. And that makes Harley that much more complex because, as she's saying, as she's beating him up, I am somebody I hate. I am worse than I want to be when I'm around you. And you have made me this way, and I don't want to be this anymore. And it's crazy because that's, when you look at Batman and Joker's relationship, you look at the Joker and anybody's relationship. At the end of the day, that's what it is.
It's about damn time. I don't know why I said Dan time.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron, for that profound addition to that conversation right there.
Well, you know what? I'm a woman and I hate Harley for the most part. I dress up as Harley in costume. And for a lot of years, I've kept my mouth shut as to why I hate her. But I've never understood why Kevin Smith named your daughter after her. That sounds like the worst thing in the world. She's a horrible person. She's like obsessed with a crazy man and has given up her whole self. So the thought that she's finally said, you know what, screw this, I'm going to be my own woman. Like, and she's an educated person. Like,
it's hard because where Kevin Smith's daughter comes from, where that was in the 90s that was found, she was created in a cartoon that was for all ages. So the depth of Joker's abusive relationship was not to that extent in the Batman cartoon.
I don't even care. Like, Harley's whole, like, even in her shallow basis, she's nothing more than just obsessed with a man. She's a sidekick for a man.
She's not her own person, which she's becoming now. So we'll see.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Awesome. So Oscars wrapped up, Project Cosplay wrapped up, Chicago's around the corner. We touched on the food, but the event will be a great time as well. And then, of course, Harley Quinn's Liberating February and Project Nerd's other podcast, Modern Sex, which I'm surprised Aaron didn't cover the one thing I thought she was going to cover when that podcast got brought up.
You mean Catwoman?
No, still, okay.
I don't understand. What?
The numbers specifically, the fact that modern sex
is just as popular.
No, you're not owning the Nerdcast, and especially not in March, because the Nerdcast is returning, or February, excuse me, the Nerdcast returned to...
You guys make fun of me, but did you guys know that I'm owning you? Just so you know.
Sorry, what?
I'm owning you.
In what?
In numbers.
January, Modern Sex was the most listened to podcast on the Nerd
Network.
But however, February...
Wait, owning us. You're on the Nerdcast.
Wait, you're one of us.
Well, yeah, but you guys...
Are you saving up all the... I mean, I find this hard to believe, but are you saving up all the quality stuff for your own podcast? Is that what's going on?
No. I'm saying that you guys think that my opinions don't matter.
That would make your...
You consistently say, Aaron, your opinions suck balls and no one cares. At the same time, this many people care about my opinion. Boom, roasted.
Your Nerdcast persona makes so much more sense now. Like, you say one of the reasonable popular things.
So now you're just reasoning.
Are you purposely torpedoing the Nerdcast with your nonsense?
No, I'm the voice of reason for those of you, for those people who don't like represent.
Who don't have like, reason.
people who don't have reason. There's a group of people out there who haven't had an extensive amount of studying in the nerd arts as you guys, and I think I represent those people.
No, I mean you can. But you just represent the people with bad taste.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. You know, I mean, if it was just the three of you, you'd all just sit around here all day and just say, "Yeah, I agree. I agree. I concur. Yes." Mm-hmm.
No, we disagree on things.
Have you heard the three of us talk?
Not really. You guys all just sit there and agree, basically.
Well, it's because we're smart individuals and we have the correct opinion about a lot of things. Well,
first of all, have you met Tyler? Tyler argues with everybody, including especially me and occasionally Adam.
See, you're agreeing and yet you're slightly disagreeing.
Just on
that you all agree at the same time. So
I hate everything about Iggy and all that he stands for, and I want to make sure everyone that knows.
So everyone agrees that we are going to oppose Iggy. But
was that ever in question?
That's about it.
Good times.
So you got that to look forward to, which is nice.
Yeah. No, so anyways,
we haven't talked about
Big Hitter the Llama.
Yeah, we haven't. Tyler got the reference. Thank you, Tyler. We haven't talked about Fantasy Movie League. The award season ended, and we have a new champion. Ladies and gentlemen,
we do have a new champion.
Tyler has been dethroned.
Oh, Tyler didn't win?
No. Jared comes out on top, 1,090,000,000 to 1,060,000,000. So we got Tyler by 30 million. That 1 week that Tyler took off really coming to get him there. Aaron and Iggy, you guys are effectively in last place.
I beat Aaron, right?
Yes, everyone
beat
him.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
That's because I quit 1 week earlier than you.
Yeah.
Coophead.
But it was a good week. Yes, we are. That means everyone, if you're listening, it's already Friday, so you've missed week one. Get in for week two and you know, find Fantasy Movie League. Join it. It's fun. We have a good time doing it. Erin does too, even though she will lie to you and tell you that she doesn't. It's pretty enjoyable. So... Jared, congratulations. Hopefully you're listening. I wouldn't let him leave you out, buddy. Don't worry.
Good job, Jared. Good job. Good job, Adam, making sure we pointed out that Tyler didn't win.
I did not. I did win the most weeks of the season, though, by a fair margin.
You were counting, huh?
It counts for you. It's
There's actually a number right next to your
name. Aaron's been trying to figure out what those numbers meant. Shit.
I didn't actually look in a long time. To be fair, so
we all know.
So
you still have The Force Awakens on your board, though.
it's a new movie. So is this week a new week? Then are we at a
new season?
New season, yeah. Sorry,
season 4, week 1 is
a go. I'm opening a tab right now, so that way I can make sure I get in on the ground floor this season and get things back together. It's my quest is to beat Tyler.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
Just don't put Gods of Egypt on your board. Aaron, if you are playing, I will say don't, because what was that, $14 million for its opening weekend?
That's going to be one of those weird ones, though. They're going to devalue it, and it's going to make 50% of money. It's going to end up being the movie of the week, and you get bonus $2
million. That's the thing. Let's say it drops by 50%. It's only costs $69 million to use it, which means it could, you could at least get $1 million per million easily on it, which basically the general rule of thumb is if the movie on the board breaks $1 million per million, it's going to be the movie of the week. So I would not be surprised if Gods of Egypt is the movie of the week next week.
There you go. Or Star Wars. Aaron may hold on to that one and still get a chance to win there.
I wonder if it carries over season.
The problem is she makes decent money on Star Wars every week, but since every other wall is blank, she loses $1 million for each of those screens.
How many weeks are left?
We're starting a new season. Are you not part of this conversation?
I don't understand.
There are 13 weeks left.
Oh.
For a whole new season.
Okay.
So everybody is at zero.
We're all right. Currently tied. We're all in first place. Hooray!
Yay! We're winning. I'm gonna win.
Okay.
No, you're not.
You're going to win what exactly?
Oh, okay.
Let's get some clarification.
I just won the making you guys laugh tonight. That made my heart feel good.
We usually laugh at you without any problems. So. All right. So
the most genuine laugh I've seen all night from both of those guys.
I know we're earlier than normal, but we're out of our normal elements. I have been traveling all day. And we have not had the best success with the quality of this recording. So hopefully do that. So I'm going to go ahead and move us into our closing remarks and wrap us maybe a few minutes early tonight. Aaron, were you going to participate this week?
In the what?
In your final thoughts.
Why do you always make me go first?
I'm not making you go first. I'm only asking if you're even going to participate.
I always participate.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I right. do.
Adam, I come up with something. Would you like to get us started? Aaron, will you hit that little mute button and we'll let Adam go.
I'll be happy to get us started. So I made an interesting decision this past weekend. I guess it was two weekends ago now. I stopped into the GameStop just to see what's there, see what's going on. I enjoy video games, so I wanted to see what I could see. And I saw Fallout 4 was down to $39.99. And I was like, oh, okay, well, $40, I'll probably enjoy it. I've never liked one of the Fallout games before, and I've played several of them. I never got into them. For whatever reason, I couldn't do it. I think Tyler that said that's because I'm stupid, but either way, I wasn't able to do it. I did pick this one up, though, and it hasn't left my system yet. I've played a ridiculous amount of it. It is really quite good. So if anybody is thinking about it, go get Fallout 4. Also, they have a season pass. They're getting ready to release DLC within the next little bit. The season pass is at $30 right now, but that's going to go up to $50 soon. So hopefully you get it before that happens.
And for those of you who don't keep score at home, Bethesda DLCs are always pretty fantastic. The DLCs that we got for Fallout New Vegas were amazing. Made it a whole other game.
Fallout. Play it. That's what Adam says.
You know, who doesn't like Fallout? Dirty Sense. That's who.
Tyler, your turn.
Couple closing thoughts. One would be next week. The third and final book in the Chronicle of the Unhewn Throne series by Brian Staveley comes out. So I went back and I'm rereading book one and book two, and they are a fantastic series. So if you'd like to try those out, The Emperor's Blades by Brian Staveley, Staveley, pretty fun series. And then also earlier this week or this morning, depending on if you think it's Tuesday and or Friday, Nickelodeon did their 2016 upfronts. They had a lot of upfronts for those of you like in the spring. It's when TV shows, television stations announce what new shows they have coming up or things that's slated in production. They announced a bunch of new shows and some what they called quote unquote happy reality programs. But two big announcements of note. Number one, they are making a live action TV movie inspired by Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, they are.
And they are making a two-part TV movie based on Hey Arnold. So you have those to look forward to in 2016.
I'm excited for Legends of the Hidden Temple there. Aaron, would you like to participate with a final thought?
I would love to participate with a final thought. I have a great final thought. So in a couple weeks, I will be at this place called C2E2 in the land of Chicago, Illinois, a suburb of Aurora, Illinois. And while I am there, I will be reaching out to creative individuals and the like to interview them. So if you are a creative individual, or if you know someone who you think I should interview, or if you know someone who you think the Project Nerd team should interview because you think I suck at interviewing, you know, as Tyler is agreeing and thinks maybe somebody else should do the job, send me an email at aaron@projectnerd.com. Send me the information, contact information, send some times. I would love to hook up with you. Maybe we could eat some tacos. Maybe tacos are not the best time to do an interview, but hey, maybe we could eat some tacos and then afterwards do an interview. Either way, I'm going to be at C2E2. I hope to see you guys there. You can at least like take a selfie with me, because that's cool too.
Fun stuff. So the only thing I really have to say is that when your flight's been delayed for a couple hours and the pilot says that the airport's asking them to circle again, but hopefully it doesn't last longer than 15 minutes because that's all the fuel we have left, you hope that it doesn't last more than 15 minutes as well. So I am a bit exhausted for travel, but of course we are excited for, like we said, more travel coming up for C2E2. A lot of amazing content to come out. So even if you can't make it out to Project Cosplay in Denver, you can go check out the Project Cosplay fan page, as well as Project Nerd is sharing a number of those galleries, but we can't share every single photo. So Project Cosplay on Facebook as well will at least get you to those photographers' page if we're not sharing the majority of it. I'm already falling behind those of us running that page. But of course, the cosplay bloggers are sharing as many of the galleries as we can over on Project Nerd as well. So you always have that tour button at the top and you can click on the page. But I do want to say in the end, it is March. And March is significant for Project Nerd because it is our anniversary month. So what is also happening in Chicago, March 20th, Project Nerd turns 4 years old. Our little baby growing up so fast.
It's like a little kid now. Not even a toddler.
Nope.
Body trained.
Before we know it, next year we're going to be sending it to school. Everything like that. It's going to be writing its own content eventually, you know, all the fun things. So Project Nerd turns 4. We'll have some giveaways, everything like that, of course. And then as Matt led the charge for our Black History Month content, which was fantastic, almost all centered around comics, but we did have some great cosplay content as well. Women's History Month, of course, here is March. So expect to see that trend continue with a new topic there. So a lot to see come out of that as we concentrate on women characters and women's contribution to comics. So other than that, all the smiles, I don't think they're directed at me, but you guys are pretty.
I was smiling at you.
Okay. I believe you.
I trimmed my mustache so you could see my smile.
So you could see it. Perfect. But with that, we're going to close as episode 114. Successful. Even though you guys hated my intro.
Look how long it is, though.
Adam, we didn't hate the intro. We just didn't think it was any
good. It just wasn't very good, right?
So, okay. So, Adam, you go play with your beard. The rest of y'all, don't tell me what you're playing with. But anyways, other than that, you guys have a great rest of the week. And remember, tomorrow morning, Saturday, get your Flight of the Conchords tickets. Get us some Flight of the Conchords tickets. And have a great week.
Yeah, are they coming anywhere near me, by the way?
Can I go fund me for those tickets?